ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This morning, if you would, turn in your Bibles to Judges chapter 16 on a cheerier note, huh? I don't know, man. We've been in this in-depth study of Judges for a while. We have several more weeks to finish up here. But we're looking at the last judge in the book of Judges, and it's Samson. And here was a man, again, who's been called by God, empowered by the Spirit of God to deliver the children of Israel from their bondage by the hand of the Philistines. And the Philistines had the children of Israel in bondage for 40 years. The longest period of time in bondage for the children of Israel in the book of Judges. And yet, Samson came far, far short of delivering the children of Israel from their bondage. Why? Because he let the flesh control his life instead of the Spirit of God. He let his feelings get the better of him and direct his life instead of the Word of God. And in the end, it's going to bring Samson into bondage, as the flesh always does as we succumb to it. I'll give you a little side note. Yesterday I struggled, I'll be honest with you. I was really struggling with Facebook. I mean, I had a really hard time because my brother had posted that, okay, now that the elections are over, now we all just need to get along and just support the new president and this and that. And the previous day or 2 days before he posted that, he blasted my daughter-in-law for posting something about the elections and the counting of votes from a source that she knew from Michigan, who was there and saw how these things were being done and how it was wrong. And so right away, my blood's going, okay? And I'm typing away and I'm going, well, maybe before you say that, you need to apologize to Ashley for what you said. Exclamation mark, right? And the Lord's like, no. All right, delete. All right. I didn't hit send. It was close. So then there's another post from my brother. Why I was stayed on Facebook, again, that the Republicans, you know, are this group of people that are hateful and they're violent. And we got to be careful and watch out for them because they're a violent group. So here I am, you know, typing again. What about Antifa and Black Lives Matter? Are they a really good group? Are they a peaceful group? Exclamation mark. No, Joe. Delete. Again. I said, Julie, I just got to get off of Facebook. I can't take it anymore because I'm ready to explode here. And I know that if I win this battle or we argue and fight over this with my brother, it's not going to draw him to Christ. And that's the biggest thing. And we have to be aware that our flesh, you know, we think we're doing good. I thought I was doing good that night. I was just relaxing, and I started to read this, and all of a sudden, my flesh was just there, ready to, like David, just smash in their teeth, Lord. And that was the wrong thing. And the Lord showed me. So we have to be careful. Samson, here was a guy, again, empowered by God. And there's few people in the Bible that have this kind of strength and then weakness. This is what we're told of him. When we think of Samson, we ordinarily think of his strengths. He killed a lion with his bare hands. He killed 30 Philistines single-handed. He broke the cords with which men of Judah had bound him and slew 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. And escaping from a trap which the Philistines had laid for him, he walked away with the gates of Gaza. 3 times he escaped the treachery of Delilah, once by breaking the 7 fresh bowstrings that bound him, once by snapping the new ropes as if they were thread, and once by pulling out the pin that fastened the 7 locks of his hair to a loom. Finally, he pulled down the pillars of a house in which the Philistines were being amused by him, killing more in his death than he did in his life. But Samson's weaknesses were even more apparent. He had a weakness for women and was willing to disobey God in order to get a woman who pleased him. He disobeyed his parents. He practiced deceit. He fraternized with 30 Philistines, the enemies of God's people. He gave way to temper and vindictiveness. He had a cruel streak in his nature. He consorted with the harlot. He lingered with the evil. He revealed the secret of his strength to the enemy. He was too self-confident. And last but not least, he broke his Nazirite vow. Again, Samson was this riddle wrapped in a mystery inside of enigma. I mean, he is, wow, what's going on? This powerful man before men and weak before women, and it brought him down. And here's the thing, Samson had choices to make. No one forced him to do these things. He was not a product of society or his upbringing, as we hear so much today. Well, it was the way I was brought up. Well, you're an adult now, live accordingly, right? You have choices, plain and simple, and so did Samson. And I think he was brought up in a godly home, maybe not perfect because there are none. And so Samson, when you look at his life, he's double-minded. Yeah, I love God, but he served the flesh. Like James said, he's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. That's a person who is not trusting in the Lord. The Amplified Bible says, "For being as he is, a man of two minds, hesitating, dubious, irresolute, he is unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, and decides." He's unstable. That was Samson. James nailed really what Samson's like and a lot of times what we're like. And when Samson fought against the Philistines, it was never for the honor of God. Never. It was never for the benefit of the children of Israel who were in bondage to the Philistines for 40 years. It was always because they did something to him. It was in retaliation. He never gathered the children of Israel together like the other judges did to defeat the enemy. He did it on his own. And he began, the Bible says, to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. He began. He never did the full job he was supposed to do. The potential was there, but his flesh got in the way. And I've called our study this morning, "Samson Betrays Himself." And the reason I've called it that is because Samson did this to himself. No one did this to him. No one forced him to do it. It was a choice on his part. First of all, he turned from God. He tried to satisfy his flesh, and it never happened. He was never satisfied. Yes, sin brings some satisfaction initially, but in the end, what happens is you always seek more and more and more, and it never ends because the flesh is never satisfied. The more you feed the flesh like an ugly monster, it will want more and more and more until it consumes your life. And that was Samson, and it brought him down. And I broke these verses down this way this morning that we're going to be looking at in Judges chapter 16. And again, this is in your bulletin. Moving away from God in Judges 16 verses 4 and 5. The temptation in Judges 16, 6. The lie of Samson in Judges 16 verses 7 through 9. The temptations keep coming in Judges 16, verses 10 through 14. Giving in to temptations in Judges 16, verses 15 through 18. And finally, sin blinds, binds, and grinds us in Judges 16, verses 19 through 21. So let's pick up our study this morning. Judges chapter 16, beginning in verse 4. And let's see what the Lord has for us this morning as we look at this topic here in Judges, Samson betrays himself. We're told this. "Now afterward it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, 'Entice him and find out where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver.'" So, you know, as you read this story, you have to be thinking, you know, what in the world is Samson doing here? He should have learned his lessons and surrendered back to God. And every time that Samson went against the Lord, it didn't turn out well for him. And that's exactly what's going to happen again. You think, what's wrong with this guy? Now, again, it's really easy to pick on people in the Bible who do foolish things. But I think God many times says, "Joe, you need to look in the mirror." Okay, I didn't put this in here for just to talk about Samson. I put this in here for you to examine your own heart. And I think that's for all of us, for our learning, that we can grow in the Lord. if you think you're above sin, you're already involved in it. Pride. None of us are above it. We walk by the grace of God, and the key is we need to keep our eyes upon Him, or we can be drawn away very easily and start living to satisfy the flesh, as Samson did. And the flesh is never satisfied. Remember what we read in our study last week in Judges 16, verses 1 through 3, where it says, "Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her. When the Gazites were told, 'Samson has come here,' they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. They were quiet all night, saying, 'In the morning, when it is daylight, we will kill him.' And Samson lay low till midnight. Then he arose at midnight, took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two doorposts or gateposts, pulled them up, bar and all, put them on his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron." And then when we come to Judges 16:4, it's kind of matter-of-factly, afterward, after he went into this harlot, after these events, it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. And again, we don't know how long after he laid with this prostitute that he fell in love with this Philistine woman named Delilah, who lived in the valley of Sorek. And we're not told that she's a prostitute, but you kind of look at her actions, it seems like that's where it's pointing to. And this is not love, not at all. This is lust. And that was the life of Samson, the lust of the flesh. It controlled his life instead of the Spirit of God controlling his life. And you think, well, why is this such a problem for Samson and for us at times? This whole flesh thing. This is the hard part, because we think we're doing good. But it's because we don't love righteousness. We don't love the things of God more than we do satisfying the flesh. God has created things with beauty. Make no mistake about it. I mean, we saw that with the fall colors, the beautiful things out there. We look at all the individual people here. We all look different. Could you imagine if we all looked like me? That would be crazy, wouldn't it? God creates us so differently, and that's awesome. And that's not the problem. The problem comes when we love that beauty without a corresponding love of righteousness. And that's where the trouble comes. I'll give you an example. Adam and Eve. God had placed Adam and Eve in the beautiful, beautiful Garden of Eden. Every tree of the garden is for you guys. You can eat of every tree except one. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't partake of that. We know what happened. They desired to have the fruit of that tree. It was good for them, they thought. And because they didn't love righteousness, they gave in to their fleshly desires and brought sin into this world. They didn't love God more than they loved the fruit from that tree. Think about it. Every single tree in the Garden of Eden was for them to partake of. God says, but not that one. Where's it at, Lord? And that's us, you know? Everything here is perfect. John reminds us in 1 John 2, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. There's the key. All these things in the world are passing away. I look at my life. You know, when I was 20 years old, man, I was in shape. I was healthy. I was strong. Not so much anymore. It's my life is passing away. It's deteriorating. It's winding down. There's more chaos in it. But my faith is in the Lord. The world and the lust of it, those are all passing away. But I'm going to abide forever. You're going to abide forever in the Lord. And I guess for us is, what or who are you going to love more? Are you going to love righteousness, doing the right thing, following God? Or are you going to be drawn away by the lust of this world? And that stuff is just dangled before our eyes so we can take a bite of it. And there's nothing wrong with beauty, but we need to understand that with that beauty, the devil places those temptations before us. They're entwined together, you might say. And again, without righteousness, we can allow that beauty to draw us away from God. And when I speak of righteousness again, I'm talking about doing what is right according to what God has said in his word. It's not how I feel or what I want to do, because that's not righteousness. if we don't have that kind of righteousness, if we don't have that kind of direction from God or want to follow it, we're going to do like Adam and Eve, do as we please. And that's what we see here with Samson. Samson obviously was not involved with righteousness, but his desire to satisfy the flesh. Now, besides the obvious of him falling in lust with this Philistine woman, or prostitute, really, first of all, he's in the Valley of Sorek. And the Valley of Sorek is the Valley of Choice Red Grapes. We might not think much about it, but we were told that Samson was a Nazarite from birth. He should have stayed clear of this valley, but he didn't. He wasn't supposed to partake of any grapes or any wine. And here's the lesson for us. How often do we go into those valleys that we should stay clear of, where God says, I don't want you in there? Walk in righteousness, not the flesh. And it's not the end. He falls in love with a Philistine woman named Delilah. And her name, interestingly enough, not by coincidence, because I don't believe in coincidence, the Hebrew root speaks of making poor or to impoverish. That's interesting to me, because that's exactly what she's going to do with Samson. She'll take whatever he will give her and steal it away. And there's another thing for us to think about. What Delilahs do we have in our life that are robbing us, making us impoverished, spiritually speaking? Because whatever it is, if you give into it, it will take whatever you give to it. So we have to be careful. We have to be on guard and don't go down to the enemy's camp. Don't go where you don't belong and don't go after things that will leave you spiritually impoverished. And think about it. You know, how many people today call their daughters Delilah? I don't know any. Maybe you do, but I've never heard of anyone. And that's for a good reason. Walk in righteousness, not the flesh. Samson didn't guard his heart. That's another lesson for us. You know, when the Philistines find out what's happening, that Samson's going after one of their own, they hire her as sort of a, I guess she's kind of a hit man, you might say, or hit woman, to find out where Samson's power came from so they can overcome him, overcome his strength. He didn't guard his heart. He put himself in a very dangerous situation, and he's going to expose all that's in his heart to this woman, and it'll finally bring him down. Now, it's interesting that the Philistines want to know, where is his great strength from? Years ago, I used to have a T-shirt. It said God's Gym on it instead of Gold's Gym, and it had Samson there, and big, strong guy knocking pillars down, and that's how we think of Samson. I think he was a little pipsqueak like me. I don't think he looked very strong, because the Philistines are saying, where does this guy get his strength from? You got to find out. How is he doing what he's doing? So I think he didn't look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, that's for sure. And so they wanted to know, where is this guy's strength coming from? And here's the thing, as much as Samson lusted after Delilah, I don't see Delilah in love with Samson at all. She was using him and stealing from him, you might say. She was more interested in the profit that she can make off of Samson by coming against him, what she would get in return for her information, money. The 1,100 shekels made up more than 140 pounds of silver. And as you read this, it seems like she was going to get 1,100 shekels from each of the five lords of the Philistines. That's a lot. So she's in love with money, and she's going to take it from Samson, making him poor, impoverished, spiritually speaking. And that's what sin does in our lives, you know. And we see that, we're going to see that played out for us as we get to the end of our study this morning. What happens with Samson? But what we see here with him, even though he didn't even realize this because he was so consumed with self, is that Samson was moving away from God. And as that happens, make no mistake about it, the enemy will bring forth the temptation. Look at verse 6 here in Judges chapter 16. So Delilah said to Samson, please tell me where your great strength lies and what you may be bound to afflict you. Now, Samson loves to tempt us to sin, but also understand that Samson had placed himself in a situation that's causing him to be tempted, and that's foolish. And think about this question that Delilah asked Samson, okay? Please tell me where your great strength lies and with what you may be bound to afflict you. Do you think alarms should have been going off? I mean, that would be like, you know, me dating Julie, and she's going, so how much money do you have, and how soon can I take it from you? I mean, red flags, right? She didn't do that, please. She didn't do that. Because I didn't have any money. It didn't matter. But no red flags? Tell me where your strength comes from, because we want to capture you. Wow, either he doesn't see it because of the temptation is so great, or he thought, what are they going to do to me? I'm Samson. Too prideful. I don't think he saw it as a problem, but the warning is simple. If you play with fire, you will eventually get burned. And that's what's going to happen to him. He's going to let sin consume his life. And he's not seeking after righteousness, but the satisfaction of his flesh. And he's going to lose big time. When Delilah said to Samson he should have fled for his life, when Delilah said this to Samson, he should have fled for his life, right? Exit stage left. Exit stage left. Get it on the right side, right? Whatever. Paul in 2 Timothy 2:22 said, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord of a pure heart. I like the way the Amplified Bible puts this verse. Shun youthful lusts and flee from them and aim and pursue righteousness. All that is virtuous and good, right living, conformity to the will of God in thought, word, and deed. And aim at and pursue faith, love, and peace, harmony, and concord with others, and fellowship with all Christians who call upon the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. And that's what we've been talking about here this morning, to pursue righteousness, seek after the things of God, and the things of the flesh, we're to flee from them. Don't play with them. You don't play games with the enemy. Because what Satan loves to do is to say, hey, you're in control, you can handle it, and you can't. These lessons are here so we can learn from them. And if you go down this path, if you don't pursue righteousness, you're going to become spiritually impoverished. We're going to see that again with Samson. Don't go down that path. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. We always think that, you know, we can handle it. What God said in his word is for somebody else and not for me, because I'm strong. I can do it. We have to be wise and walk accordingly. And yes, God uses these temptations in our life to test our faith. The thing is, don't put yourself, though, in those situations. Those situations are going to come into your life. It's different situations to tempt you. Satan is going to use it to tempt you to sin. God's going to use it to test your faith. And are we willing to seek after righteousness, to do those things that God has called us to do and avoid those things that God wants us to stay clear of? That's a choice for us. Samson put himself in this situation, and again, I think he's very prideful, thinking he could deal with it without a problem. But notice what happens next. You see, with this temptation, what it does in Samson's life, we see the lie of Samson. Look at verse 7 here in Judges 16. And Samson said to her, if they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. So the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, staying with her in the room, and she said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he broke the bowstrings as a strand of yarn breaks when it touches fire, so the secret of his strength was not known. Why did Samson lie to her? Because I think he knew what she was doing. And he wasn't going to tell her where his strength came from. He's playing games with her. And again, you play with fire, you're going to get burned. What's the source of your strength? Well, if they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, I shall become weak and be like any other man. That's how far away from God Samson is. It was a lie. So this man of God is lying to Delilah instead of running away from her. And some don't see this as a big deal, but to me it's a huge deal because to me it shows who you're following. Now please hear me out on this. Don't get offended by it. Hear me out. If you lie, you're following Satan. Why? Satan's the father of lies. What did Jesus say to the Jewish religious leaders in John 8, verses 44 and 45? You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Here's the contrast that Jesus is giving these Jewish religious leaders. The devil's a liar.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.